Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
16-year-old.
Huh. They check the test.
I got calls.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, Lance isn't here because Lance has, what Dell likes to say, hoof and mouth. I just like to think he's got horrible rotten pegs.
I don't know what he has, but he called in like he was near death.
Yeah.
So
his whole head and neck hurt because of his tooth.
He texted us saying,
"Talk about a rotten peg. Good Lord, clean your teeth, man."
Whole neck and head area was hurting. So if he has hoof and mouth disease, R.I.P. We'll see you on the other side.
If you want to send him, tweet him pictures of people with horrible mouths, that's something that could happen. I don't know. That's something that has and could still happen for the rest of the day. Okay. A couple of things. Let's get Southwest. Is it Southwest J? Southwest J. Let's get him in here. Let's talk about his Rockets. Let's do that first. Hey, Southwest J, what's going on?
Yo. Happy New Year, fellas.
To you too.
Hey, John, I ran into you at the Knicks Christmas party with my son.
Did we drink?
Nah, I don't think so.
We didn't drink?
Don't think so.
Well, Then it must not have been me. if I didn't have a Coors Light in my hand, it wasn't me you met.
Okay? No, you had a Coors Light, definitely.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I was wondering, how many times have you frequented that massage establishment next to Nick's? That place has probably never been rated, huh?
Well, I don't know about rated, but back in the day, I've told this death story before. I'd never been in there before. And I told Nick, it was about going on midnight, 1 a.m. or something. And I told him one time, I said, Nick, I had a few Coors Lights that night, but more than a few. Yeah. I told him, Nick, let's go over there because I'd never seen it. Let's go. So we went over there, me and him and a couple other guys. And we went in there and, you know, hey, how much? How much does it cost? And the lady goes, oh, yeah, it costs this, whatever it was. I forget what it was. But then she looked at me and she said, not you. You too drunk. You take too long. That's what she said to me. So I've gone in there, but I've never actually experienced their service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, about the Rockets, how long are you thinking until the guys think they can bring back Melo and put him over the top?
What now?
how long you think until the guys feel like they can bring back Melo and put him over the top?
Okay. Okay, how long do you think it would take if you're on a diet and you ate an entire pizza? How much weight would you lose? What the hell, Southwest Jay? Why would you bring Melo? Why would you bring Melo back?
I wouldn't. But I'm just saying. Do you think, you know, he's sitting there, right?
Yeah.
No one's gonna come up with that, right?
Do you believe any Rockets will think? I guess that now that we're playing well, so we should bring Melo back.
It's like let's bring all. You know what? We're doing really well. Let's try to ruin this thing. Let's bring back a bad.
Well, you know when Melo was discarded, a lot of people were like, it's not Melo's fault, and we were right there with them. It's not Melo's fault. It's Chris Paul and James Harden's fault. No. They're not playing well.
Yeah.
So now that they're playing well. James and Chris are playing well.
Do you want to risk fade? Let's fade Carmelo again?
Well, if the two guys who were actually the problem are now playing well, whenever Chris Paul comes back and if he starts to play well, now do you insert Melo? Because it wasn't his fault the first time, remember? I'm just trying to work through the process.
Of all the things.
I think
you've won 10 of your last 11 games, five straight without Chris Paul.
All I think he's saying is he's speaking to maybe some of the dumbness.
Are you good enough to fade?
No, he puts them over the top, John. Because now,
I think it's like, you know what, Patriots, you've been so good for so long. You know what, bench Brady and put Brian Hoyer in.
No. It's not like that.
We're good enough.
Because he's not saying to get rid of Harden and Paul. Carmelo would be a supplement. Like, hey, Patriots, you're really, really good. Do you think if you added Braxton Miller to your lineup, that put you over the top?
No, that's not. Yeah, could you fade? They're just playing a guy that does that will do that will actually hurt. What?
I don't think Jay was serious. I think he's just saying.
Okay, I'm glad.
Will they figure?
You're pretty sure he's not serious.
Sure he's saying, will the Rockets be dumb enough to believe that now that everyone's playing well, they can add Melo back and things will go well?
No, they can't. No, the answer is no. Please, of all of the things to talk about with our Rockets right now, Carmelo Anthony. How about that? Nobody. I mean,
well, that speaks to that. That the whole thing was dumb in the first place.
That speaks to. Yes. I mean, whatever you want to say, and I love Daryl Morey, that may have been. Is that his worst move?
Well, it didn't cost you much, so I don't know. Does the Ty Lawson thing come close? Although Ty Lawson spent more time with the Rockets, I think, than Carmelo did.
Yeah.
The Carmelo thing doesn't cost you anything now he's gone. It's just a storyline that you
have. Was Ryan Anderson? No, because Ryan Anderson actually contributed for a while.
True. But the Ryan Anderson thing probably kept you from acquiring your third piece that you really wanted. Yep. So I think Ryan Anderson is up there as far as bad moves and what people are looking at. Why are you paying him $20 million a year? What are you doing that for? Who was going to give Ryan Anderson $20 million a year? I know you want a stretch four. You love a stretch four. You want Chris Bosh to be your stretch four. Ryan Anderson wasn't prime Chris Bosh. What are you doing?
Yeah. No, not even close. But, yeah, so there's a chance. There's a chance that was his worst move ever. I don't know. Because he actually brought the team down as opposed to contributing at all like Ryan Anderson did. Now, Ryan Anderson prohibited you from doing stuff, but and he actually contributed. So I think Melo's got a shot. I think that move's got a shot.
I get what you're saying, but I still go back to us saying it wasn't his fault. Paul and Harden were playing their best. But Paul was injured for a bit of that time and was suspended, I think, as well.
No, it wasn't, but you're coming off a great season, and this is what you
That shouldn't have been
added.
Your major acquisition.
Your losses, that's what you countered with?
You waited all off season for things to work out so you could add Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, right.
I felt it was dumb at the time, and it turned out to not be a good decision.
815 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. We'll get to more NFL playoffs on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 703-780-3776. If you've got a question or comment, you're more than welcome to get in here. Talk about the. I want to talk to you about NFL playoff odds, but first let's get JP in here. He wants to talk about Dana. What do you say, JP?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Appreciate that. Happy New Year to you both.
To you too.
Just to make it quick, I called your competitor, and he said the same thing. You haven't gotten a group of five, power five, a group of five coach, have you, sir?
He hasn't. Pardon me?
Yes, sir. Has anyone called in and given you the Power 5 coach that went to Group of 5?
Okay, who?
Like I told you, a competitor, a few years back, Tommy Tuberville walked away from Texas Tech, if I'm not mistaken, and then he ended up being the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats when Brian Kelly left to go to Notre Dame.
He did do that.
He did do that.
It was a recruiting weekend at Tech,
yep.
And he left the weekend to go interview at Cincinnati,
that's true.
I think.
Yep. That is true. Forgot about Tommy Tuberville. Good call.
Great. Yes, sir. That's what I recall that happening. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll work out with Dana Holgorsen. I'm a ex-Cougar. That's what I'm pulling for. But that's what all I wanted to say, gentlemen. Tommy Tuberville is the name I came up with. You have a good day. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Yep. Good call. Good call. Forgot about Tommy Tuberville. Yeah. I do know this, though, about Tommy Tuberville. Because, as a matter of fact, some pro people that were going to look at Texas Tech people, Tommy Tuberville, when he first got there to Texas Tech, was asking, "Hey, you're hearing about anything else out there? Are you guys hearing about any jobs out there?"
He was asking pro scouts.
Yes, pro scouts, whether or not they were hearing any rumors about any job openings. That's, this is when he first got to Tech.
So he was, well,
he wasn't. He was less than committed. Let's say that.
I'm trying to think of the timeline. Was he actually in season, or was it? Has he just taken the job? Because we've seen coaches, Manny Diaz for one. Now that was an odd situation. Take a job and then renege and take another job. Was he was that the same offseason, or was it?
It was the same offseason.
Well, I guess he was hoping.
And sometimes you just take a job to just take a job, because if you're on the bench, it's going to be harder. So you want to keep on working, you know. So and that's in the same. You know, I mean, don't think that there aren't coaches that take jobs that they really don't. They're not crazy about.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a big. He was at Auburn. He wanted to be a big time at a big time school that had a chance to win national championships.
Yeah, he was a coordinator in big conferences at big schools, and he wanted, and he didn't see Tech that way. Now choosing Cincinnati is an odd way to get back to a big school. But I guess maybe he thought he had a better chance to win.
To win?
Maybe he could take over the was it still the AAC at the time, or was it Conference USA? I don't remember what Cincinnati was in at the time when he left Tech. But I guess if you're at Tuberville at Auburn, you think you got a shot to win a title.
Conference USA at the time.
Yeah. You probably don't think that way at Tech.
Yep. All right. Which team is least likely to win the Super Bowl that's in the playoffs right now?
I would say the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are down there, but it's the Eagles having to go through Chicago.
That's true.
Being the sixth seed, being on the road for every game.
I understand all of that, and we had a discussion even before the Texans game. Lance was on the side of they're not the same Eagles, and he's probably right about that, but they found their way into the playoffs. I would still take the Eagles over the Cowboys. But I understand all the obstacles in front of them.
Eagles going to Chicago, Cowboys hosting Seattle.
Yeah, there's a lot in the way. But
let's not forget that the Eagles had first a round bye and then home field. Oh,
yeah, they had everything in their favor last year. I think there's a better chance of the Seattle Seahawks going into Dallas and winning the game than the Eagles going to Chicago and winning a game. So I think they're both going to be out really early.
Right. Yes. Now, I think it's a it's 6-1. You know what? I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are both. The Eagles are plus 3,300. In other words, if you bet $100, you win $3,300 yeah. for them to win the Super Bowl. The Cowboys are plus 2,500, which is exactly what the Texans are.
And are you insulted by that?
The Texans are plus 25. A $100 bet will get you $2,500 if you bet on the Houston Texans right now. This is my corner of the world. This is my bookie. Other places are more, other places are less, but this is what I've got. Who do you think the favorite is to win the Super Bowl?
I thought I saw it. Was it, did I see that it was the Saints?
Pardon me?
I thought I saw it was the Saints in one story. Not it's the my Saints. Bookie. Yeah, I thought the Saints were in the
And I think rightfully so. All domed. They don't have to go. First of all, they got home field advantage. They will be in a dome as well for the Super Bowl. The NFC has been stronger than the AFC throughout the season. I don't even if the Chiefs get there, I think, hey, listen, the way that the Chiefs have played against good competition, against the top competition, the Saints are going to be, the Saints will be a 6-point favorite against the Chiefs if they're in the Super Bowl, both in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And probably even more if the Patriots are there. How about that the Patriots would be a bigger dog than the Chiefs, I think, if they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Have the Patriots been a dog since the Rams in the Super Bowl? Since that first Super Bowl?
I don't believe that they have. I can't believe that they would have been against any of their other opponents now. I mean, obviously not the Giants. Last year, they against the Falcons, they were a favorite.
Yeah, I think it would be the first time.
Yeah, since the Rams.
Since that Rams, where they were big underdogs.
Yes, and they won the game on Adam Vinatieri. Yep. They would be a dog again because of the way that they play. They're just not. The Patriots are just not a great football team.
Yeah, they have home field because the AFC was weak this year. Well, not home field. They have a first round bye because the AFC was right. weak. They lost the most amount of games they've ever have to have that spot. When was the last time they lost 5 games? Was it the year Tom Brady got hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that speaks to maybe the softness of the AFC this year.
Right, and they're just not. I mean, we saw you just week in and week out, you look at them and you go, first of all, defensively, they're not good.
No.
They're not a good football team. Now, Tom Brady, and oh, by the way, okay, rank the quarterbacks.
Breeze.
What quarterback would you want to have most this playoff?
See, it's weird you say that because if I threw Tom Brady with the Saints, would he be just as effective as Drew Brees? But since they have to be in the teams that they're on,
right?
I'm taking Brees number one. I'd probably take Mahomes two. Three is tough because the GOAT is standing there, and do I get past three before I take the GOAT? I think I'm taking Brady three because the other guys are. No, I take Philip 3, Brady 4.
You're taking Rivers ahead of him.
Yes.
In the postseason.
I know.
I can't.
I know what you're saying. Particularly if they played each other, it would be in New England. I'm taking this version of Philip Rivers and his team over Brady and the rest of his
offense. To me, it would be between Luck and Brady.
I see that too. But I think I take Philip 3, Brady 4, and Luck 4A.
Okay, rank them how good they are.
Currently. I'm taking Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers, Luck, then Brady.
It's how good they are. I'm taking Breeze, Mahomes, Luck, Rivers, Wilson.
Yeah, I forget about Russell Wilson because we've stopped paying attention to Seattle because they're very quiet now.
Where does Deshaun fall there?
A lot of my trepidation is we know he's a big time performer in college, and we don't expect I don't expect him to fall on his face in the playoffs. I think he is behind. I think he's behind, he's not top five. Now when we get to 6 and 7. I think he falls in that category. He's behind Wilson, too, who I had mentioned.
He's behind Wilson. He's behind Brady.
So he's probably 7, I guess? As far as these playoffs are concerned, 7 out of 7. There's 12 quarterbacks. I think he probably is around 7. I have him ahead of Trubisky. And I think he's about 7. I got to look at all the quarterbacks' names again. No, Foles is on the list. Is he ahead of Goff?
That's a question. Right now, would you rather have Deshaun in this postseason after you saw Foles win an MVP?
And he's back in the he's back doing it again.
Yes.
Whew, that's tough, but I still take Deshaun.
I would take Deshaun over Foles, too.
You take Foles
even
over
after
Goff?
Last year, and that's pretty disrespectful.
Hey, we're disrespectful people.
That's what we do.
Is he better? You take Foles over Goff?
I take Foles over Goff.
I would take his run.
Yes.
I think it means more to me than Goff as an overall player in the regular season. I take Foles' run last year.
Would you take Dak last or Lamar Jackson last?
See, the Ravens are so damn unique because of what they do to make Lamar a successful quarterback.
And by the way, him running and what he does.
That has to be included, right?
It has to be included because, and oh, by the way, they play defense. And for him to use clock, running the football, and, you know, he throws incompletions that stop the clock, but he keeps the clock running. I mean, he's almost perfect for that.
I haven't looked into his turnover issues, but Dak turns the ball over quite a bit. So if I would have to look at Lamar, if he's not turned the ball over, I would take him over Dak.
I would take him over Dak too. I think Dak is the least talented quarterback among these guys.
The Cowboys won a Super Bowl. Because
Trubisky might be lower ranked. No, Jackson is lower ranked. I would go from the bottom up. Dak, Lamar Jackson, Trubisky, Goff.
Yeah, I think the number they put it up on GetUp in terms of the youth of the playoffs in terms of quarterbacks. They're like 6 or 7 guys, 25 or younger. So at least half of the quarterbacks are 25 or younger in these playoffs. Lamar's the youngest at 21.
How about the Mahomes is up there? It's unbelievable. 831 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you got anything that you want to add, you're more than welcome to get in here. Right now, it's mybookie.ag, mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. You want to bet on these things. And I've just showed you. You think the Texans are going to go all the way? You can win. If you bet $100, you can win $2,500. You could win $2,500 on your Houston Texans winning the Super Bowl by just putting $100 down. Put $10 down, win $250. That's all. I mean, you could put as little as you want. Put as much as you want. They don't care. They'll take it. Whatever. Casino action? Yep. Got it. Want to bet on politics? You can do that. You want to bet on NBA? You want to bet on whatever, NHL? Golf is coming up. What? Yeah, you can bet on golf. Boxing, MMA, soccer, tennis. You know something about tennis? Guess what? That's where you can make big money. You can make big money betting on tennis. Just bet the favorite. You don't know any of their names. No one does. But you could just win money. That's the most important thing. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. They'll match half of your initial deposit. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The NFL ain't hurting. You know, all those, the demise of the NFL. Now, do you think it helped, honestly, that the huge kneeling issue, the national anthem issue, just went away this year?
I guess.
I think it really did. I mean honestly, all that crap and all the negativity and all the blah, 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 it really, and this year they're up 7%, average of 19.3 million live and same-day viewers. Sunday Night Football is going to finish number one for the 8th straight year. Number one show. The NFL is just fine, and all the, you know, the naysayers and the doom and gloom. Oh, it's going away. It's a good product. It's a really good product. They market it well.
And offense is king, and offenses have been the king this year. I think that hurts. I think that helps.
I think
as
the
well.
Second half of the season, though, I think defenses have.
That's true. The Bears have taken a step. Yeah. But all that, the first half and maybe the first three quarters of the season, the offenses, the quarterback play. I think that helped as well. You were watching a brand of football that people liked. I mean, sometimes, well, I'm probably in the minority, certainly. Sometimes the NFL will bore me.
Yeah.
I'm watching games on Saturday, and then Sunday it's football, but it's a different brand, and sometimes it's not. I think it's the inferior brand compared to the college game. I just like the way the college game is played.
I agree wholeheartedly, but I think it's become a more fun league.
It is.
I've changed it a bit on that. I like the college game. Sometimes it's cartoonish, and sometimes, you know, it's video game-ish, where it's like. But I thought the Baylor Vanderbilt game was an awesome game up and down the field. I really loved the way Charlie Brewer played. Vaughn, the way he ran the football, nobody can tackle. That's a problem. And that it's, you know, just huge play after huge play. But it was a lot of fun. But so the last weeks of the NFL season they've been great. That it's been a lot of fun. And hopefully it continues. And then there was the playoffs, which were horrible for a game and a half. The college football play, again, like last year, was just the worst. Well, the semifinals were the worst.
Georgia and Alabama. Georgia and Oklahoma was good. But generally, we've had blowouts in the semifinals.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get a good...
Oh, yeah, Georgia and Oklahoma was good.
Georgia and Oklahoma was a classic, and then you had the Alabama-Georgia final, which was really good, too.
Right.
But we've had quite a few, and it's really been it's really been because of Clemson-Alabama, what they have done to the lesser competition.
Let me ask you this. Because ticket sales are... ticket prices are way down for this national championship. Now, first of all, it's a long way from both of these schools.
And they're putting it in a place that's not a football hotbed.
Right.
I know it's a nice new stadium, but it's not a college football place.
No. No, it's not. And yeah, right. So the locals would drive it up. Like if it was here, even the locals would drive. I just want to go see that football game.
Yeah.
There, they don't have none of that going on. They don't care about that football game. And oh, by the way, all these teams after traveling last week have to go and travel again.
Yeah, Clemson went to Clemson people went to Dallas. Now they have to make a decision to go to California this time.
I mean, there's only so much disposable income, so that's tough. And oh, by the way, it's the fourth time in 4 years they're playing.
The excitement level has decreased. I mean, you have two young, dynamic quarterbacks, but it's Clemson and Alabama again. I'm trying to think of the comparisons in the other sports. What's the comparison?
Cleveland and Golden State.
Warriors. But the question is, do we feel the same way about this final that we did about those finals as far as the foregone conclusion?
Well, you know, Cleveland did come up and step up and win one of them, just like Clemson has.
True. They've played in two finals, and they split now. Clemson lost the semifinal last year. But everybody last year said that was probably the weakest Cavs team that could have made it as far as the back and forth between the two and the rivalry. And no one thought that was going to be a series. And if J.R. Smith had not been J.R. Smith, it might have turned into one. But everyone was right. It wasn't a series.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So do people feel the same way?
No, I think this game, though, and I hate, I was watching the other day, and I forget who it was, who was on SportsCenter, was saying, you know, they just, I think it was, it might have been, well, maybe it was after the game. He was saying, you know, last year they played Kelly, they had to get rid of Kelly Bryant, and they had to find a guy that was able to, they had to have Trevor Lawrence this year because they knew they couldn't compete with Alabama with Kelly Bryant. And I was like, well, if Kelly Bryant's watching, I feel bad for that kid now. It was Herb Street that was talking about this.
Well, I think that's a bit of an overstatement. I didn't like Clemson's game plan. Now, maybe it's strictly because of Kelly Bryant, but I don't know why people don't get it. Washington played it the same way against Ohio State. If you feel you're outgunned, you cannot play side to side against teams that you think feel are superior to you. We watch Washington do it. That's what they do in the Pac-12, and they get away with it with their small, quick guys. you have to throw the ball down the field. I'm not even talking about 40 yards down the field. The intermediate game. What happened when Washington actually started to throw the ball down the field in the fourth quarter? Yeah. They moved the football. You can't go side to side. And that's what Clemson tried to do with Kelly Bryant. Instead of using Hunter Renfrow as a supplement, they used him as part of their main offense. You still had big receivers on the outside. How did Deshaun do it the first two years?
Throw the ball
down the field on the outside. That's what you have to do. When Oklahoma had any success, they threw the ball down the field. So maybe Kelly Bryant was incapable of doing that, then I would buy it. But I didn't like the game plan last year. Trevor Lawrence is a guy. They're going to use Higgins and Ross. You got to continue to test Alabama's corners on the outside. And maybe Kelly Bryant wasn't capable of that last year.
Yeah. And you can run the ball with Etienne.
Yeah, that's true. He's another dynamic player.
Which will hold the line back. I think Lawrence throws a beautiful dig.
Yeah.
I mean, he can wing it 25 yards down the field on a line, on a dime. And I think that's how you got
to
beat him.
It's weird to say.
I'm not sure they're going to run by them, those corners, all the time.
Well, we saw this freshman Surtain, who's the son of Patrick Surtain. We saw him have issues locating the football. So that might be a plan of attack to throw back shoulder stuff, test him down the field to see if he's improved in about a week plus. But I don't know if you're going to hit a lot of those. But you can't play. It's weird to say play in a phone booth when you're passing the ball. But you can't play in a 10-yard box against them. You can't throw. You can't try to win beating them in slants and bubble screens. It's not going to work.
No, you got to stretch.
You got to stretch.
I don't know. I'm obviously older, but I don't ever remember as much guys being covered down the field that you just throw it. I don't care. It doesn't matter if the guy is draped by that cornerback. People are throwing it up and giving him a chance to make a play because, first of all, there's going to be interference. Or second, he's going to go up and catch a 50-50 ball. Or if it's intercepted, it's down the field. It's good as a punt. Yeah. You don't want to do that on early down or if you're driving the football. But at least it's not a back-breaking interception. I don't think I've ever seen as much. We're throwing it 40 yards, 50 yards down the field with a guy draped on you.
I don't think they probably haven't taught it as much as they have now, where we're just going to take our shots.
Take a shot.
We believe Justin Ross, the number one player from Alabama who we got to come to Clemson, is better than the Notre Dame cornerback on the other side. We will continue, and we'll use T. Higgins the same way. How many times can you stop those guys from making a play? Sure, you do it once or twice. You're not going to keep them off the you're not going to keep them off the board from making those plays, and if they do make one of those plays, it changes the game.
And more often than not, your corner's going to
grab or hold or whatever he has to do. You continue to take those shots because at worst it's incomplete. And like you said, if it's a pick, oh well, it's down the field.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. You want to get anything you want to talk about? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I've got some odds and some lines for you. All right? After Biscuit gets in here, I got some prop bets for you on this football game on Saturday between your Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts. Biscuit, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, fellas, man? Hey, happy New Year to you, both of you. Hey, man, John, and you and Dale brought up something that me and one of my buddies, man, you know, played a little college ball, not major, but a little college ball. But I would like to get you guys' take on it. One of the things that is puzzling to me nowadays is the ball skill play of DBs. And, you know, it's one thing to get beat. You know, guy do a double move, you beat. But how many times nowadays do we see a DB in position and don't go for the ball? Play the man, don't turn the head. And to me, that's what's leading to, like you say, you're in position. Just when he turn, you turn. and go for the ball. But it just seemed, I don't know if it's maybe DBs play quarterback and or running back in high school or, you know, what do you guys think the reason? Because we see it on Sundays. We see it on Saturdays. Even one of my buddies' son was playing like DB at Southern Miss, and I'm like, hey, man, your son is, but he'll never go for the ball. You got to go for the ball. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's just me. Do you guys see the same thing?
Yeah. And how many times when the biggest pet peeve of mine is interference on an underthrown ball. I think that is just crap because the defensive back is not turning around and he's just running with the guy. The guy stops and is trying to go to the football and the DB's in the way. I think that's crap. But we don't see DBs turning their heads any. It just seems like they're all trying to time when the ball gets there and slap it away. And when it happens, it's a nice play. When a guy is going up for a catch and he does make it looks like he's got it and the DB is able to slap it away, he hasn't turned his head, and we go, oh, what a great play. But you got to time that perfectly.
I think there's been a change in how they're taught. I know Biscuit was talking about you don't turn around. I think it's taught by some places, even in major colleges, that, hey, you're going to play the hands.
Play his hands.
It's too much of a risk for you to turn around
if the
ball is just going to go
find
by
it.
Find it and then make a play. And if you don't look in the right spot, you're losing separation or it causes separation. The guy's open. He runs away from you. I think they're taught play the hands on those deep routes.
More often than not, though, you got to time that perfectly, and it's not happening.
Yeah, I think they believe it's less difficult to do that as opposed to staying in phase, turning your head, and then to be able to locate the football and slap it away. I think they believe, hey, if you're in his hip pocket, make the quarterback make a perfect throw. And if he does make that throw, you be violent with your hands and slap the ball away.
Yeah. All right. Some prop bets for you, for your Texans. Lamar Miller runs for 68 yards.
I will say over.
You're going to say over? Last game.
Wait a minute.
14 carries, 33 yards.
Is he healthy? Well, the Jags, they actually care. They've cared defensively the last 5 or 6 weeks. Is he healthy?
Yeah, he's playing. Okay. Yes.
That I know that the Colts are improved. I don't think they're holding him under. The deal is, does he get the 14 carries? I think that would be my bigger concern about the yards per carry.
Well, he got 14 carries for 33 yards. DeSean Jackson leads the Texans in Watson. Rushing. Do they win or lose?
If Watson leads the team in rushing, it depends on what that is. No.
They're 2-2 in their last four games with DeSean Watson leading the team in rushing.
I don't think. And who are the two losses against?
The Eagles and the Colts.
You mean two teams with pretty competent quarterback play?
Yeah.
If he leads the team in rushing, no, I don't think they win.
And I want you to sit down because you were pissed. And Raheel's with us right now on ESPN 97.5. You were pissed at Bill O'Brien in the last game because of DeSean Watson running the football.
Not running the football. It's under 6 minutes when the game was decided. And I get it. Football coaches are always going to do the, well, you never know. You never know. But that game was pretty much decided, right?
But I didn't think he was in harm's way.
That hit he took when he dropped back and two Jags hit him and he was hunched over. And I'm not talking about career-ending injury.
There was one where he got his leg caught underneath. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
And he twisted him, and I was like, oh, my God, that could have ended the season.
Right, and it's not a career-ending.
But you gotta keep playing.
I get it. It's not a season-ending injury. Right? That's like worst case scenario. I'm talking about even a lingering injury going into the playoffs with the sole reason you are going to either win or lose. It's going to be because of DeSean. You have a quarterback now. Why risk that? What's the best case scenario in that situation with DeSean in under 6 minutes? Win and he doesn't get hurt. Worst case is what? You win and he's hurt. There's some kind of injury. And I get it. You never know. But why not have some kind of risk management in mind, because it's not just a game. It's for next week also.
I didn't think that was egregious, if you want to know the truth. I thought you had to keep playing football. And, oh, by the way, and I think it hurts. You know what? Everybody who sat last week and decided, you know what, it doesn't matter. I know Jason Garrett was under fire because Dak Prescott is in the game trying to win a football game, and they couldn't improve their lot. So what the hell are they doing? You got to keep playing football. You got to play football. Teams that sat last week that have a bye next week, they're not playing football for 3 weeks. That's three full weeks that they're not playing football.
Absolutely, and that's a different discussion for me. My discussion is with 6 minutes left, and I didn't care about up until that point. It is a must-win game. I get that because that is home field for at least 1 week. You get that. That makes it a little bit easier. So I don't care about up before that, like three quarters and up until about 6 minutes left in the game. Do what you want. But when that game was in hand, and there was no doubt they were winning that game, why put the reason you're going to win a playoff game in jeopardy?
I just think you keep playing football. I don't know. I don't think you can play. You got to take the kid gloves off. We're playing football.
If
he would have gotten hurt, everybody would have gone nuts.
But that's the whole point.
I didn't think it was that egregious.
And it worked out this time.
Yeah.
Excellent. I don't care. Like, let's move on. Let's talk about the Colts. It worked out this time. But there has to be some sort of bigger picture here. I know it's football and coaches are going to do what coaches do. That's fine. But you've got to think about next week just a little bit. Because even if he suffers a sprained ankle, that change your game plan up a little bit?
Yeah.
That's why.
He could suffer a sprained ankle in practice, though. I mean,
yeah,
so,
but
absolutely.
You could avoid. We've had this discussion before with the Arian Foster thing. Sure, you can. You can suffer an injury anywhere. It turns out his injury against the Seahawks got exacerbated in practice. They didn't really know about it until that practice. Yeah. I get it. But in that situation, risk management, there's no need.
There's no need at that point.
Yeah.
What are you trying to prove?
Whatever.
Yeah, I wasn't nearly as pissed as you were about it.
I was so upset, dude. It was just so frustrating watching that. And I'm the one. Look, we talked about it before we went on our winter break. The hits that Deshaun's been taking, like, I've been looking at that on my notes, going back, reading it. He hasn't taken hard hits since that Dallas game.
Right.
But we'll remember that Dallas game always.
Yeah.
Right? We'll always remember that. For crying out loud, the dude was hurt so badly, they're like, you can't even fly right now, okay? Like, you can play, but let's not risk anything.
He's been a lot smarter about
it. He's been smarter. He's been sliding.
And I think as a coach, you probably trust, okay, the guy's better at it now. If he was getting beat up like that Dallas game, and they were, you know, and it was 6 minutes left, and they had it all clinched and everything else, I think you think differently. But you got to trust that he has gotten smarter about
agreed.
It.
Agreed. And that's why I didn't care about it before that six-minute mark, right? Like, he did a great job. Even in that game, he did take a couple artists, but he was fine. And everything turned out to be okay. I get it. You can trust the quarterback all you want. You can trust Deshaun all you want. You can't control the Jags, though.
Yeah.
All it takes is one play, and there's a lingering injury. There's something there for next week. That's what my frustration was. But we're on to next week. For crying out loud, we have a playoff game. The Deshaun story now starts. I can't wait. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We have 2 hours.
All right. We start right now on ESPN 975-73-780-3776. Raheel joins the fray here on ESPN 975.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.